1 John chapter 5, our text this morning is found in verse 8. 1 John chapter 5, let's read verses 6 through 8 to get the context here. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness, that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. Father, we thank Thee that Thou hast provided for us Thy holy word. We thank You that You've given this to us for our instruction, that we might know the things of God. We pray that You would this morning, by the Holy Spirit, the very author of this scripture, cause us to see in Scripture that which You would this day tell us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our topic this morning is God's threefold witness, part 3. In our previous study in 1 John chapter 5, you'll remember that in verses 4 and 5, John talks about the victory over the world that is based upon the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Then in verse 6, we are told that there is a threefold historical witness. We have reference there to the baptism of Jesus Christ, the crucifixion of Christ upon the cross, Calvary, and his subsequent resurrection. And then thirdly, the Spirit, the coming of the Holy Spirit, the day of Pentecost, giving us, therefore, a threefold, solid, historical confirmation that Jesus is the Son of God. Then in verse 7, remember we studied the threefold heavenly witness, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, that God swore by Himself. And we have then in the mouth of two or three witnesses God's testimony, the testimony of the Trinity, that Jesus is the Son of God. Then today in verse 8, we have the threefold personal present-day witness to bring to our hearts the constant personal assurance that Jesus is the Son of God and is therefore our source of daily victory. We'd like to note, first of all, the nature of this witness given. You'll notice in verse 8, first of all, that it is a threefold witness. There are three that bear record. There are three that bear witness. And so it is a threefold witness, which, as we saw before, is the ultimate in confirmation. God did not just say by himself as one, but he confirmed here with the three persons of the Trinity, the threefold witness. And so also here in this portion in verse 8, once again, we have the threefold witness. There are three that bear testimony. The word bear there is in the present tense. It is a present participle, and so this is a constant witness. The witness is being constantly given forth. And the witness here, the location of it, is on earth. There are three that bear witness in earth. And so it is a testimony that we here upon earth can sense. It is available to our present awareness. And so this would be the nature of this witness. It is threefold. It is constant. It is here upon earth. What then are these witnesses? We find that the first one mentioned here is the Spirit. The witness of the Spirit. And this is substantiated by several portions of Scripture. The ministry of the Holy Spirit today in witnessing to the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. First of all, in John 16, in verse 8, Jesus told that the Holy Spirit, as he came, would convince the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment to come. He also mentioned that the Spirit would speak about him. He would teach us about Christ. And so we find that the Spirit today has as his ministry to testify as to the person and work of Jesus Christ, substantiating that indeed Jesus of Galilee, Jesus of Nazareth, the man who walked the face of this earth, is indeed at the same time the eternal Son of God come down from heaven to die for our sins on the cross. So the ministry of the Spirit is to instruct us as to the person and work of Jesus Christ. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 3, Paul says, "No man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost." In other words, the very ability to state as a conviction of our hearts that the man Jesus is at the same time the Lord from heaven is a work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. This cannot be done apart from the work of the Holy Spirit. Only as the Holy Spirit brings to us this conviction are we able then to come to this conclusion that Jesus is indeed the Son of God. Only by the Spirit can we confess that Jesus is Lord. And in Romans 8, chapter 8, verses 16 and 17, we are told that the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirits that we are the sons of God, and if sons, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be we've been crucified together, we'll also be raised together. And so we have here the ministry of the Holy Spirit testifying to our spirits that we are indeed the sons of God and that we are in a relationship with Jesus Christ as the Son of God. We are joint heirs with Him, giving us then the assurance of who He is and of our relationship to Him. And this is extremely important for victory in the Christian life. Insecurity as to who Christ is and as to our relationship with Him is a basis for constant defeat in the Christian life. Security, victory comes through security. I remember reading many years ago of a construction company who was having problems with production as they were putting up a huge skyscraper, and as their workers were walking those beams up in the high up in the air, welding those beams together, they found that production was going very slowly because the men had to be so careful not to make a misstep. And so the construction company found a local circus and rented from them their circus nets, and they strung circus nets underneath those workers. And they found that production on that skyscraper increased dramatically because the men who were working didn't have to worry about falling. If they fell, didn't matter. They'd fall into the net and come back up again. And so it wasn't a matter of life and death as they were walking the beams. And so the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to witness to our spirits that we indeed belong to Jesus Christ and that He indeed is the eternal Son of God, and that we are joint heirs with Him. And this security is a means of great victory in our lives. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We belong to Him. He is the head of the body. We are members of His body. And as we are then assured of our position in Him, as we are members of His body, under His authority, under His headship, we are protected from the temptations of this world, and we find victory over sin. The second ministry mentioned here then, the second witness in verse 8, is the water. Now we have several scriptures also regarding this second witness. In Acts chapter 8 and verses 36 and 37, we have the Ethiopian eunuch, to whom Philip explained the way of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And as they went along, the eunuch saw a body of water, and he said, "Look, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And the eunuch responded, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And this has become, down through the ages, a part of the baptismal formula. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And this is the testimony then that is given at each baptismal service, a verbal testimony on the part of those being baptized that they believe that Jesus is the Son of God. The reason this is given at every baptismal service is because of the extreme importance, because that individual, as he gives testimony, public testimony of his relationship to Jesus Christ, his coming victory in the weeks and months and years to follow, are closely related to the fact that Jesus is indeed the Son of God, and his perception of that, his realization of that. And so we have this verbal testimony. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We read in Romans chapter 6 and verse 4 that we are buried with Christ by baptism unto death. Like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, we also should walk in newness of life. And so the baptismal service not only in word testifies that Jesus is the Christ, but also the very picture of the baptismal service testifies that Jesus not only died, he was not only a man so that he could die, but that he was God and he rose again from the dead and ascended into heaven. And so even the form of the baptismal service gives testimony that Jesus is the Son of God, not just a man and dead, but the Son of God and raised from the dead. Some mention as an argument against baptism by immersion. They say, well, it's so difficult. You have to have all of these extra provisions, and it's inconvenient, and it's so much easier just to sprinkle a little water, and that takes care of it. It's more simply done that way, and less problems. But you know, the very difficulty involved in immersion is an extreme advantage, because it makes the event more memorable. You don't soon forget that time when you went under the water, and during those moments under the water, you were technically dead. You were buried. And then coming up out of the water, testifying to Jesus' resurrection and your resurrection in him. The very difficulty of it, the very fact that it takes additional preparations and additional concerns, is a help in causing us to remember the fact that this is a public testimony to the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. It makes a more memorable event, a more effective reminder to us. And then in Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, we are told that the believers of that day, as they received the Word of God, they trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, were born again into the family of God, gave testimony by means of baptism, and they were added to the church. And we are told that there were added to the church at that time by the thousands, those who trusted Jesus Christ as personal Savior. And they were added to the church, and they came under the protection of the local church, the local body of believers. And in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17, we are told, obey those that have the rule over you and submit yourselves unto them, for they watch for your souls. And so, by means of our testimony through baptism, we become a part of the local congregation. We come under the protection of the God-ordained leaders of the local congregation. And we are told here that these are they who watch for your souls, and therefore you are to submit yourselves to them. So we have here once again that same picture of protection. And this second witness, just as the first witness, is meant to provide protection for us. And as we come under the protection of the local church, we are protected from many needless and damaging temptations. By means of our public testimony of this second witness that Jesus is the Son of God. And so each time we view a baptismal service, we are reminded that this victory that we enjoy over the world is only possible because Jesus is the Son of God. The third witness that we have here is the witness of the blood. Now, in Matthew chapter 26, verse 28, the Lord Jesus says, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." And so we find that the communion service is a testimony to the fact that the blood of Jesus Christ was not just the blood of a man who died as a martyr, but rather the blood of the eternal Lamb of God who died for our sins upon the cross. And so the communion service is meant to be a third testimony to the fact that Jesus is the Son of God and that our victory is in Him. We're told in 1 John 1:7 that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Every communion service, then, is to remind us that our victory over the world depends upon who Jesus is and what our relationship to Him is. The communion service is the Lord's table. It isn't the church's table. It's the Lord's. But it is a function that He has given to the local church, an ordinance given to the local church by the Lord Jesus Christ. And that means then that whosoever despises the Lord's table by neglecting attendance at the table of the Lord is also rejecting the ministry and authority and protection of the local church, because this is given as an ordinance of the local church. And so the individual then that despises the table of the Lord by not being present at the communion services is actually taking himself out from under the protection of the local church. And that's why in our Constitution we state that after not attending communion service for 1 year, a person loses his vote as a member of the church. Because after that length of time of despising the table of the Lord, a person is not in a spiritual condition to discern what is right and wrong, and so should not have the right to participate in the vote of the church, in discerning the mind of the Lord as to what is right and what is wrong for the local congregation. And in our Constitution, we have that after 2 years of despising the table of the Lord, a person is dropped from the membership of the church. And this is important because after that long, clear indication that a person is despising the table of the Lord, despising the fact that Jesus is the Son of God, then certainly God is going to bring serious judgments upon that person. And so he no longer should have the protection of the local body of believers. He has rejected those who would care for his soul. And so he is to be exposed then to great and important and necessary trials that must come into his life to teach him the seriousness of his sin. Because the blood is the third witness that Jesus is the Son of God. And a person then is removing himself from the protection that he would have through this third witness. These then would be the three personal, present-day witnesses that Jesus is the Son of God. The Holy Spirit, who bears witness in us with our spirit. Baptism, the witness of water, that Jesus is the Son of God and that we have died to sin in Him and risen to newness of life in Him. And the blood, the ministry of the communion service, in which we are constantly reminded that it is His blood that cleanses us from all sin, and that in Him we are able to draw nigh unto God the Father. These three, then, says John, agree in one. The closing words of verse 8, and these three agree in one. And so John is saying, these three give harmonious testimony that Jesus is the Son of God. This is their witness, that Jesus is the Son of God, making then our life in Jesus a supernatural life that gives us glorious victory over the forces of this present evil world system that would draw us away from God. Now, we have here then this threefold witness that Jesus is the Son of God. What does it really mean to us that Jesus is the Son of God? What is so important about it that Jesus is the Son of God? You know, when Jesus was tempted by Satan in Matthew chapter 4, verses 3 and 6, Satan said, first of all, to the Lord Jesus, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Now, why did Satan say that? If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Satan here was tempting the Lord Jesus to sin by using his own power for personal needs before the Father wanted to provide those needs. And so the temptation was to sin. How did Satan begin this temptation to sin? By placing the seed of doubt, if you are the Son of God. And this is the very same thing he does with us. He prefaces our temptations by causing us to doubt the person and work of Jesus Christ. Because he knows that if he can get us to doubt who Jesus is and what he means to us, we have no further power to overcome temptation. The second temptation, alike in verse 6, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. The temptation to sin was prefaced by the doubt that Jesus was indeed the Son of God. And so the doubt in our mind that Jesus is the Son of God makes us liable to temptation, weakens us, and brings us under the power of temptation. If he can get you to doubt the person and work of Jesus Christ, you will have no power to resist temptation. Because who is he that overcomes the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? But what does it mean to believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Mark chapter 9, verses 22 to 24, we find the same word again. If here a man had brought his demon-possessed son to the disciples, they couldn't do anything. They were powerless. Jesus came down from the mountain, and the man then brought his son to Jesus. And the man said to Jesus, first of all, he called him master, which would be teacher. Not necessarily Lord. Not necessarily Son of God. He just called him master. A human title. He says, if thou canst do anything. And so, in effect, what this man was saying, what this father was saying, when he said, if you can do anything, master, he says, I recognize you to be just a man, a healer, and I know you've done other healings and you have helped other people, but my son here is a very difficult case, and the proof of that is that your disciples couldn't do anything, and just then he was thrown into another, the demon threw him into another fit. And so the man says to Jesus, as a man, if you can do anything, do it. And Jesus says there's no power there for any kind of victory. And Jesus' reply to him was, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. In other words, the issue here at this moment is, do you believe that I can do this? Do you believe that I am more than just a master, earthly master, earthly healer? Do you believe that I can do this? Do you believe that I am the Son of God and have power to do this? You know what the man's response was? Lord, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. And that's all that was needed. And as soon as he said, Lord, he was in a position to receive a miracle of God in the life of his son. And the Lord Jesus healed his son. But as long as he said, if, there was no help, because he was not recognizing Jesus to be the Son of God. We have another example. Matthew chapter 9, verse 28, we have some blind men. And they followed Jesus and they came into the house where he was and they said, Master, I don't know if they used the word master there or not. Anyway, they referred to Jesus and asked him to heal them. You know what Jesus asked them? Jesus said, believe ye that I am able to do this? That was his question. What he was in effect saying is, who am I in your eyes? Do you believe that I can really do this? Do you believe that I am the Son of God and have power to do something like this? To open your blind eyes? You know what their response was? Yes, Lord. You know when our response is, yes, Lord, there is nothing that can stop the power of God working in our lives. Their response was, yes, Lord. And when they called him Lord, the battle was won. Now, Jesus, as our example, is bad news because he set an example that we cannot imitate and he has no power to enable us to do it. But Jesus, as Lord, is good news. Because everything he is at our disposal. And when we make him the boss, that's what Lord means. When we make him the boss, then there is victory. Because who is he that overcomes the world? This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? He that makes Jesus boss. Lord Jesus, you are the Son of God. I believe that you are the Son of God. If he's the Son of God, he's over me. You are my Lord. And when we make him boss, then there's victory. It's exciting to me as a brother came up to me and said, you know, things have just been going so great. For a long time, I was trying to live the Christian life and serve God and do what was right and have victory. And he said, I just had such a hard time. I just say, no, I'm going to have victory here, and I'd fall again. I just fail constantly. I couldn't seem to have victory. I couldn't get the victory. It was just such a hard time. I'd keep falling. He said, finally, the Lord revealed something marvelous to me. Said, the Lord showed me that the reason I wasn't having victory was that I was the boss and I was trying to do it. And I was trying to have the victories that I wanted, when I wanted them, and how I wanted them, and do them myself. And you know, as soon as I made him Lord, and I said, Lord, you're the boss. You give me the victories. You give me the victories that I need when you see that I need them, and the way you see that I need them. You're the boss. You're the Lord. You know, he says, since that moment, his victory has just been so wonderful. And he says, the victory has just been so easy, and God has just been giving victories. And that's the solution. By making Christ the boss, he found new power over temptation. Because who is he that overcomes the world? Who is he that has victory over temptation? Who is he that has a victorious Christian life? But he that makes Jesus not just an earthly example to follow and try to imitate. He that makes Jesus boss. Lord, you are the Son of God and I belong to you. And my life is yours and you are in command. You're the one that's giving the orders. And I am your servant, and I obey you. You know, that's why John here, in this portion of Scripture, has given us, you notice he's given us a triple, threefold witness. There's the threefold historical witness. You can look back and you can see Jesus is the Son of God. A threefold historical witness to prove it. And you can look up and there's the threefold heavenly witness to prove it. Jesus is the Son of God. And you can look around, in and around. And here's the threefold personal present day witness that Jesus is the Son of God. Why was God so concerned to give us three times a triple witness that Jesus is the Son of God? The reason is because that's the only way you and I will ever have any victory over sin in our daily lives. The only way is because Jesus is the Son of God. And until I claim Him as Lord, you're the boss, and I am your servant, rather than me being the boss and God being my servant. Now, God, help me today to do this. God, help me to do that. God, this is what I want to do, and you help me to do it. Rather than making Him my servant, I become His servant. And I declare that Jesus is the Son of God, my Savior, my Master, my Lord, my boss, and there is no temptation that can counter that kind of power in our lives. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith that Jesus is my Lord, Son of God. Because who is he that overcomes the world? Not he that tries harder. Not he that wishes more. Not he that struggles. He that believes that Jesus is the Son of God and finds in his Lord day by day victory over sin. And if you're having a battle with sin, the problem is that you're battling sin. Come to Jesus and say, Lord, I believe that you can do this. And that's the victory that overcomes the world. Father, we thank you this morning that you never intended us to overcome sin in ourselves. You never intended us to overcome sin with your help, because you aren't interested in helping us. Father, we thank you this morning that the only way that we're going to have victory over sin day by day is as we come to you as Lord, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, now seated at the right hand of the Father on high. And as we come and turn our lives over to you and recognize, Lord, I am a sinner. And as long as I'm in charge, that's what's going to happen. I'm going to sin. Because this old nature is still with me. It'll be with me till the day I die. Thank you, Lord, that as we come and recognize that you are the Savior and that the only basis on which we can function is if you are the Lord. And as we come and give public testimony, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. The water bears witness. As we come together as a group of believers, partake of the table of the Lord, we recognize that Jesus not only died, but he rose again, and his blood cleanses us from all sin. And then the Holy Spirit bears witness in our hearts with our spirits that Jesus is the Son of God, and that in him we have become members of the family of God. Thank you, Lord, for this threefold assurance of who you are. We thank you that then we can know in you victory day by day over sin, and that you have promised us that this is the victory, even our faith, that Jesus is the Son of God,
the Lord of our lives.
And we bear witness, we give testimony that this is true, that this is the only way to overcome sin. We thank you for this provision in Jesus' name. Amen.